The past 2 years have seen escalating attacks on abortion rights at the state level, as conservative majorities took control of many state legislatures and governor's offices. According to the Guttmacher Institute, more anti-choice legislation was passed between 2011 and 2013 than in the previous 10 years. Now, in the wake of the 2014 midterm elections, Republican majorities and supermajorities will be taking control of even more legislatures, and additional Republican governors have been elected to office. While anti-abortion activists in Tennessee celebrated state voters' November 5th passage of Amendment 1, a measure that gives state lawmakers more power to restrict abortions, pro-choice groups took credit for defeating so-called personhood ballot initiatives in Colorado and North Dakota, which would have granted rights to human embryos and fetuses. Although the issue of reproductive rights were not the focus of most campaign debates in this election, just as they were barely mentioned in the 2010 midterms, once in office, many GOP legislators have made attacks on abortion rights and birth control a priority agenda item. Between the Lines' Melinda Tuhus spoke with Amanda Allen, state legislative counsel with the Center for Reproductive Rights. Here she explains why many pro-choice activists are bracing for renewed efforts to further restrict women's access to abortion when newly elected conservative politicians take office.
We will see a majority of anti-choice governors moving into the 2015 session. And we will also see a majority of state legislatures governed by two houses that are likely to be anti-choice. What really happened this election is we lost ground in a couple of states that really had legislatures that were mixed choice, that maybe weren't super, super hard right anti-abortion, but that could be moving in that direction. And so that is one of the reasons why we think that we might be seeing more state legislatures that are, on the whole, more anti-choice. So we've really seen abortion access limited to a very severe degree in states where there's only one clinic left. And those states are North Dakota, South Dakota, Mississippi, Missouri, and Wyoming. North Dakota in particular, every year that their legislature is in session, their legislators come in and propose and pass bill after bill after bill, really, really directly attacking that remaining abortion clinic in the state. You might recall that North Dakota faced a 6-week abortion ban last year that the Center for Reproductive Rights successfully got a federal court to block. That was one of several anti-abortion bills considered by the North Dakota legislature last year. Now, North Dakota only meets every other year, and so we did not see those types of restrictions in North Dakota this year, but we are absolutely gearing up for another tough session there. Also, Mississippi. Mississippi is another of the states that has only one abortion clinic left, and that clinic is also hanging on by a court order. The Mississippi legislature back in 2012 passed a law that sounds like a good idea. It requires abortion providers to have local hospital admitting privileges. And part of the strategy is to make that kind of requirement sound benign and sound easy to comply with. But of course, the providers in the state have been unable to obtain privileges, not because they provide substandard care, but because the abortion is such a politicized issue in the state that not a single hospital would grant those privileges. And so we've got a federal court order blocking that requirement from taking effect. But like I said, that clinic is also hanging on by a court order. And so those are just a couple examples of states in our country where abortion access really is depending on a woman's zip code and where she lives.
Amanda Allen, I know abortion rights had majority support among American voters for decades, but I think that's changed.
Well, the polling is actually very compelling on this question. 7 in 10 Americans do not believe that abortion should be banned and do not believe that Roe v. Wade should be overturned. So those are the polling figures that we have. The other thing I would like to say is that, by and large, this election, when abortion rights and when reproductive health were squarely before voters as an issue, we won. And there are two compelling examples of that at the ballot box in North Dakota and in Colorado. Voters in both of those states faced a question about whether they wanted to insert fetal personhood language into their state constitutions, which would, of course, ban abortion and could possibly ban other very common forms of contraception, and in North Dakota even impact things like end-of-life care. And so in both instances this election, voters overwhelmingly rejected those. And so I think that really supports the overall numbers that we have on our side, which is, again, to say that, 7 in 10 Americans do not want to see their politicians meddling with the constitutional right to abortion. They do not want to see those constitutional protections be overturned.
But voters also support a lot of restrictions on access to abortion, right?
I think what we found is that when these issues are very can be very complicated, and our opposition has been able to frame their side as being on the side of women's health and safety. But I think what we've seen is that once voters hear that the impact of these laws and the intent of these laws is actually to make abortion so difficult to obtain that it becomes really a right on paper rather than a right in reality, that they don't support those kinds of measures.
That was Amanda Allen, state legislative counsel with the Center for Reproductive Rights. Find more news and commentary on the ongoing state and federal campaigns to erode abortion rights by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.